Okay, this is my opt-in Halloween horror movies. I am joined by the Horror Stream Live. Normally, I co-host on his channel. He's co-hosting on mine today.
Thanks for having me. My name is Gary, and yeah, I'm the host of the Horror Stream Live. I'm just going to repeat what Agent just said. Agent co-hosts on my podcast all the time, even though currently at this exact moment that we're recording this, the Horror Stream Live is on pause, but there's tons of old episodes if you want to check them out. But yeah, thehorrorstreamlive.com, and there's a ton of content there. But it's on pause right now. But once I come back, Agent, I'm pretty sure, you can never 100% say about things in the future, but I'm pretty sure that he'll want to come back, won't you?
Yep.
Yeah. As long as he doesn't get hit by a bus or anything, or Santa doesn't come to slay him, or what have you. I forgot we're doing Halloween, not Christmas. But anyway, so yeah, I'm happy to finally get the opportunity to co-host on his channel. So he's an important member of the Horror Stream Live team, and I'm glad that the shoes are reversed today. There you go.
Okay, now we can get started on reading the article.
Okay.
Halloween is a holiday that has a lot of horror movies themed around it due to the holiday's spooky nature, and I've seen most of them. These are my top 10 Halloween horror movies.
So, off the top of my head, I love, all of us horror fans. Love Halloween, and I will still say some, and I'm not the only one who says this, but even though I love horror or Halloween a lot, it still does come second to Christmas for me. But Halloween is definitely a close second, very close second, and it's our favorite time of the year. It's when everybody sort of joins us in our horror fandom. And I will say this, I don't know, even though Agent has written this article on my website, or on the Horror Stream Live website, I like to say our website, because it's kind of a collaboration of a lot of people, and that's the purpose of it. And but I haven't gone through his list. I will say my number one is Trick or Treat. That's my favorite Halloween movie, even though Halloween from 1978 with Michael Myers is my favorite horror movie of all time. I still would pick Trick or Treat over Halloween as my favorite Halloween movie, just because I think it envelops the Halloween vibe way better. And it's literally about Halloween. Like, Halloween is very well incorporated, whereas Halloween from 1978 just kind of happens on Halloween night. It's cool and all that, but it's really kind of like almost like an afterthought. Anyway, so number 10, what's your choice, Agent?
All Hallows' Eve. While watching two children on Halloween night, a babysitter finds an old VHS tape in the kids' trick-or-treat bag. The tape features three tales of terror, all linked together by a murderous clown.
You want to play the trailer?
Yep.
Babysitting on Halloween night? That's just asking for trouble.
Yeah, tell me about it. It's already been quite an eventful evening. Some creep slipped a videotape into Timmy's candy bag while we were trick-or-treating.
A videotape?
You should see what's on it. I'm turning it off. It's too violent for the two of you.
Do you think that clown was real?
No, it's just make-believe. Demons, witches, monsters, that doesn't exist. following you.
He's a man. He's in a clown costume.
You got any mind?
Wow, that's one hell of a trailer.
Yep.
I love anthologies. Even not so great anthologies, I still rate higher. Like, us horror fans rate horror higher than the general public. But in addition, I rate anthologies higher than most horror fans. Because there's just something about the anthology. It's like these really quick stories. And I just love them to death. I still haven't seen All Hallows Eve yet. I'm very familiar with Art the Clown.
Yeah, there's a new one, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen the new one.
No.
I've seen 1, 2, and 3 for All Hallows Eve and 1, 2, and 3 for the Terrifier spinoff.
And there's a Terrifier 4?
And there's the All Hallows Eve 4.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't seen any of the All Hallows Eve yet, although I will get to them eventually. But I love the VHS series, anthologies. But
yeah, I still need to watch those.
Yeah. Terrifier, I've only seen number one. And I hear I'm missing out if I need to get to seeing 2 and 3. But anyway. So yeah, great choice for, it's a very common, common choice for number 10. So you want to start with number 9?
Yep. The Barn from 2016. It's Halloween 1989. Best friends Sam and Josh are trying to enjoy what's left of their final Devil's Night before graduating high school. But trouble arises when the Oop Owls and a group of friends take a detour on their way to a rock concert, finding an old abandoned barn and awakening the evil inside. Now it's up to Sam and Josh to find a way to protect their friends and defeat the creatures that lurk within the barn.
Okay, we press and play?
Yep.
Coming soon from Nevermore Production Films. Meet Sam, Josh, Michelle, Russell, Chris, and Nikki as they embark on a Halloween night they'll never forget. The Barn. The legend of the barn isn't just a campfire story anymore. It's something far worse.
Trick or treat!
The Barn. What happens every year when the harvest moon shines its brightest is about to happen again, and again, and again. All they wanted was a Halloween they'd never forget. What they got was a night they'd pray to survive. This Halloween.
Gotta stay away from the pup!
Trick or treat. Smell my feet.
It scared me to death.
And die. Starring Mitchell Mussolino, Will Stout, Lexi Drips, Cortland Woodard, Nikki Darling, Nicholas Joshua, and Richard Bullock. The Barn. Coming soon to video cassette.
What I liked about that trailer the most was it was actually trying to be like an 80s trailer.
Yep.
And they even had a movie guy voice in it. Now, he was probably long dead by 2016, and there's no way that he would have done this trailer. but they had a sound-alike, somebody trying to emulate him. One thing that younger audiences don't realize is that a guy started doing movie trailers, voicing movie trailers, sort of narrating movie trailers, I don't know, super early on, maybe in the 60s or 70s. And he did it actually very inexpensively, but he was making a good living and he did it very inexpensively. So everybody, and I mean everybody, got him to do their trailer. And he became the voice on trailers. And it's because he was not expensive and he just did every single movie that came his way. And that's it. He recorded his voice in, I think it was his home audio studio, and all the movie studios used him. So he was the one and only voice for the longest time. And so they emulated that. I think that's pretty darn cool. As well as many other things, like the intro with the production company logo. How they did it in the 80s sort of synth visual style and stuff like that was kind of cool. Now, the movie itself, I don't know. It looks kind of normal. You like it. Why do you like this one so much?
Because it gives off an 80s vibe. The movie literally gives off an 80s slasher vibe.
Okay, so you're saying that the entire movie is this 80s sort of vibe.
Yep.
Okay, well, there you go. So I couldn't catch that in the trailer, but I did with the movie voice. I forget what they used to call him. Movie voice guy. Movie guy or something. And the production company intro. So if the whole movie's like that, I would like that a lot too. I've never heard of it until now, though. I don't think a lot of people will have heard of The Barn from 2016. But anyway.
There's a lot on this list a lot of people have probably never heard of.
Yeah. Me included. And I'm a horror guy. So there you go. Okay. So you want to do number 8?
Yep. Night of the Demons from 1988. When partygoers at a deserted funeral home decide to have a seance on Halloween night, they awaken something evil with a thirst for blood.
Okay, and I'll play the trailer.
You know, I've never made it to coffee.
They wanted to party and raise some hell. And they did.
Stop looking at me.
Oh, sweet mother.
We're gonna get out of here.
No!
Night of the Demons.
Where are you going? The party's just begun.
Yeah, this I've seen this one, and it's a great choice for Halloween. Going to a Halloween party, and then I guess sort of people start getting possessed.
Yep, I've seen all 4 of them, by the way. There's the original trilogy, then there's the remake.
I will say this. This is a recurring theme. Agent has seen way more movies than any of us have. He's probably, all of us listening to this podcast put together, we probably still couldn't match agents, movie watching, I don't know, talent or something, skill. But this movie, Night of the Demons, is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. It's not, if you're looking for highbrow, high quality, it's probably not your cup of tea. But if you're looking for some good 80s sexy horror fun, then this is definitely the movie for you. And Linnea Quigley does something very interesting with a tube of lipstick. And it's probably the standout scene in the entire movie. And once you see it, you'll never get it out of your head. So it's definitely worth a watch, I would say.
Yep.
So, number seven.
Mr. Halloween. The town of Syracuse, New York, has a local legend which says that the reclusive man who runs the annual Halloween haunted house uses real body parts to make his attraction so frightening. This is a legend that is taken lightly by everyone until the youth of the town begin disappearing and people start pointing fingers. The remaining teens of the town want to get to the bottom of the mystery, so they decide to check out that old haunted house for themselves. As more kids disappear, less of the mystery is solved. And why is the sheriff so uninterested in investigating Bill Loomis, who has gotten the nickname Mr. Halloween?
Ooh, Bill Loomis. So we all know who Loomis is, right?
Yep.
Okay, you tell me, who's Loomis?
He's the psychiatrist in the 1978 Halloween movie and its sequels and remakes.
But who did John Carpenter take that from?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, so the actual origin of the word Loomis predates Halloween. He actually used it as inspiration. It's actually from Psycho.
Oh.
Alfred Hitchcock. Loomis was the last name of, okay, the movie opens with, what's her face, having an affair. I think Janet Leigh having an affair. I can't remember her name, her character's name. She was having an affair, so she's literally having sex with this guy, and then she goes to work and gets the money and then drives off and then ends up at the hotel and so on and so on. But the last name of the boyfriend was Loomis. And that's where Loomis comes from. So when John Carpenter named his psychiatrist Dr. Loomis, that was a nod to Psycho. So so this is, I guess you could say it's a nod to both, but technically Loomis originated in Psycho.
Okay.
There you go. I taught Agent something. That almost never happens. It's always the other way around. But anyway, we're going to watch the trailer?
Yep.
Okay.
My Katie, she's a good girl. She's beautiful. She's smart. She would never go anywhere without telling me where she is. Someone must know something. She would never go with anybody that she didn't know. Why anyone would take her? And she's gonna come home. I just have faith. I have faith in God. I just want my baby back. Please.
Wow, that was a crazy trailer. I don't know if I understood it.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I just, while that trailer was playing, I've never heard of Mr. Halloween either. So how did you hear about this one? How did you find out about this one?
Last year, I was binging Halloween-themed horror movies, and that just kind of showed up on the list I was going over. So I watched it and liked it.
Yeah, well, there you go. So this is one of the reasons why lists are so interesting and so good. Anyway, I was looking at the IMDb page for Psycho, and instead of being vague, I might as well get specific. So John Gavin was the actor that played the boyfriend, and his character's name was Sam Loomis. And he was Janet Leigh's boyfriend, who is another thing taken kind of from, you know, the Psycho Halloween connection, is Janet Leigh's daughter, Jamie Lee Curtis, actually, you know, starred in Halloween, obviously. So, yeah. Vera Miles was sort of the final girl. Because if you don't know what happened to Janet Leigh or Marion Crane midway through the movie, then I don't know. Watch Psycho. But Vera Miles was sort of the final girl, or Lilla Crane. So the sister of Marion Crane. But yeah, Sam Loomis. And actually, what was Dr. Loomis's first name?
I think it was also Sam.
Okay. So there you go. So they literally took it. So yeah, lots of connections between, or nods between Psycho and Halloween. Well, at least those two that I know of. There might be more. I don't know. But anyway, so yeah, I've never heard of Mr. Halloween, and I was looking up Psycho so I could be more specific. So check it out. I guess we'll go on to the next one.
Number six, Satan's Little Helper. A young boy helps a serial killer in a Satan costume go on a murder spree on Halloween.
I think I've heard of this one. I've heard of it, but I haven't seen it. Anyway, let's check out the trailer.
Halloween.
Mom, Dougie, this is Alex.
Alex, our house.
Want some cider?
A time of make-believe.
He is going to be so scary.
Dressing up like the devil is part of the game.
There really is a Satan, right?
For one little boy.
Where are you going?
To find Satan.
The devil.
What's with all the Satan stuff?
Well, your dad got him this video game.
Is real.
Are you Satan? Can I be your helper?
When he brings the devil home, his family pays the price.
This could be our secret door to hell.
Child's game.
For this you shall die.
He's about to become a terrifying reality.
Oh, this boy!
This Halloween.
Yes!
The devil you know is dangerous.
You're really into this, aren't you?
The devil you don't know.
Don't go out there.
Will kill you.
We're Manson said all the dead people were for ten, but he lied.
I'm going after them.
Jenna! Run!
Satan's Little Helper.
So, it looks very interesting. Like I said, I've heard of this one before, and I've heard good things about it, and actually only good things. This is one of those movies that would only sort of be seen by an actual horror fan. So within the horror fandom, we tend to overlook some things as long as it's good and fun and all sorts of things. Like, let's just put it bluntly. Oftentimes we like bad movies. We call them B movies. Actually, other genres have bad movies, lovable bad movies as well. But I would say it's really big. That sort of concept is really big in the horror fandom. And yeah, this is one that definitely fits that bill. You're not going to be winning any Oscars or anything like that, but it was an interesting concept and a fun movie. Would you agree?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. You want to go on to the next one, number 5?
Yep. On Halloween, a journalist goes in search of the truth after a series of brutal deaths and disappearances lead back to an urban legend about a serial killing clown that has stalked the woods of Century Park for over 100 years.
Okay, let's watch the trailer.
If you want to hear a real story, a story that actually happened right here in Century, one that is true, I can tell you that.
No body, just a ton of blood. Remind you of anything?
There is no story here, okay? No killing clowns, no copycat killers, nothing.
Get wasted with a creepy clown? You feeling me?
Goes everywhere, and he's coming for you tonight.
What is that?
Russia, China, Australia. Same day, Jimmy.
Jackson thinks we have a serial killer on the loose.
You gotta get out of here.
Are you kidding me? We came out here to find the clown.
Told you it was a bad idea coming out here tonight.
You came down here for a real good fright. The name's Boo. How do you do? This way's a no-no.
Which way do you go, though?
I call shotgun.
Wow. All I can think of after watching that trailer is evil clown and personal story about clowns. I did not like them in horror movies for, well, ever. My entire life. I did see Killer Clowns from Outer Space, and to me it was kind of goofy fun, but that didn't make me switch. I still didn't like clowns. There was a lot of segments of horror that I didn't like. But this podcast that I started, I kind of forced myself to go out of my comfort zone. And after I started really getting into or watching some clown horror movies, I realized that I loved it. And it's one of those things that where if you put a killer clown and you just even have to do a barely competent job at your movie, I'm going to love it. It's kind of one of those, I don't know, good or bad things. Actually, I will say it's good because anything that makes you like something, like you liking something is a great indicator. If it's putting a smile on your face, and it's a great indicator that you're doing it right. So yeah, clowns. I'm watching that trailer and I just had a big smile on my face. So I was like, yeah, cool. Another killer clown movie that I've never even heard of until just now. Again, Agent is like the king of watching this kind of stuff. His expertise, that's one of the reasons why I have him on my podcast. He's like the resident expert, sort of. So yeah. So I didn't really get a sense that it was on Halloween though. Agent?
It was.
Yeah. So I guess he's being confused as just somebody who's dressed up, for Halloween. But anyway, okay. Next Next movie, number four?
Yeah, before I go on to four, okay. I should mention that I should probably do a top 10 evil clowns horror movie at some point.
Yeah.
I like those as well, and I've seen a lot of them.
And shockingly, there's been a lot of recent ones. I'm not really into modern movies very much.
And yeah, that one was one of them. That was from 2020.
Yeah. But see, I don't know how freely I can speak here. I just find the modern movies to be a minefield of things that I'm not interested in watching. So I just generally avoid modern stuff because I'm not interested in the things that they're saying or doing, or just interested in, I'm just not interested. So I just avoid it all. Now, when I avoid them all, yes, there are some really good things that I miss. But to me, that's worth it. That's the trade-off for not having to sit through all this stuff that I don't want to see. So, I'm mostly a classic guy myself. But again,
70s and 80s were the best generations for horror.
I would agree. It's my favorite anyway. But, and see, and another thing is like, if you watch a 1920s horror movie, well, it's going to be silent, probably. And you have to remember that the world was very different. So all of, you know, what we think of as a movie today is different than what they thought a movie was 100 years ago. So you kind of have to take that into consideration when you're criticizing or evaluating really old stuff, because it was just a different time and it was different circumstances. People were different. Society was different. Culture was different. So it's really difficult to measure older things. Like, for example, I said earlier that Halloween was my favorite horror movie. However, when a young person watches it today and they say it's boring and I didn't like it, I understand them because they're being raised and weaned on a whole different set of rules. You know, they have social media and video games and all sorts of things that make them desire things to go a lot faster. And Halloween is kind of slow and boring in comparison. There's not very much blood, not very many kills, and it's kind of like a slow burn almost. And I understand why a younger audience wouldn't like it, but I would disagree with them. But it is what it is. It's just a sign of the time. So I don't get angry when a young person says, "Oh, that's, I don't like it, and it's old and boring." I understand where they're coming from. And this one, for example, I guess is the opposite. But anyway, you want to go on to
number four?
Yeah.
Halloween at Aunt Ethel's. Everyone in town knows the story of old Aunt Ethel. It's said she makes Halloween candy and pumpkin pie out of the kids that trick-or-treat at her house. This Halloween, the neighborhood teens are going to find out the truth.
Ew. It sounds kind of like, it's almost like a Hansel and Gretel thing.
Yep. But
it was actually, Hansel and Gretel is about the house made out of candy, which lures the kids in, and then the witch eats the kids. But this is similar. It's kind of a take on that, it seems like. Let's watch the trailer.
Say that old Aunt Ethel, she turns all the kids' body parts into Halloween treats, leaving behind no remains at all.
Oh, wait, look. There she is.
Who?
Old Aunt Ethel.
Yeah, girl, everybody has heard about old Aunt Ethel.
Hey, did you guys hear about Rachel?
No, what?
She went missing. She's been missing for like 3 days.
And what happened to her?
She went missing.
I mean, is it true that she takes all the kids on Halloween night and stuff?
You worried about the wrong things, okay? Get your shit together. We partying hard tonight.
Did you tell her our plan yet?
No. Okay, so listen. Tomorrow night is Halloween, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have a stakeout at Aunt Ethel's house.
Here we go.
See? I told you.
He could come back out.
Oh, no. They never come back out.
I mean, scary.
Ew. One of my red lines in horror is kids getting hurt. This one doesn't look like it would be graphic down that road, but it is something that I tend to avoid, but I would be fine with this one. But yeah, it looks interesting. Again, probably not going to win any Oscars or anything like that, but looked kind of fun and definitely worth a watch on Halloween.
Yep.
Okay, so I'm seeing number three, and it looks like my number one is making it to your list, which is interesting and good.
Yep.
I think this is a common, very popular Halloween horror movie. I think a lot of people put this high on their list. I put it at number one because it's the most Halloween-y and I just love it. And it's kind of an anthology, which we spoke about earlier. I love that concept and how the anthology all came together. I just thought it was pretty amazing. Would you call it an anthology?
Yep.
Okay.
In fact, there's a lot of Halloween-themed anthology horror movies.
See, the thing about this one is you could almost not call it an anthology because all of the story, it's just like different parts of the same story. And then at the end, all the stories sort of converge. So it's almost like it is an anthology because it just like jump cuts to something brand new and there's like a mini story, but then you realize that all the stories are combined into one overarching story, which was pretty amazing. It wasn't just the what do they call it when anthologies have an overarching sort of story to, you know, as a sort of a break in between each story. I don't know, but anyway, this one I love. So go ahead, Agent.
Number three, Trick or Treat. Four interwoven stories that occur on Halloween. An everyday high school principal has a secret life as a serial killer. A college virgin might have just met the one guy for her. A group of teenagers pull a mean prank. And a bitter old recluse receives an uninvited guest.
So let's check out the trailer.
Time of the year, there are a few guidelines all ghosts and goblins should follow. Always stay on sidewalks. Never go to a stranger's house. And never go out alone.
All these traditions. Putting on costumes.
You look great.
What does tradition say we do now?
We meet our dates.
Jack-o'-lanterns. Handing out treats.
Here to pay our respects to the dead?
The Halloween school bus massacre.
This is the one night. And all sorts of things roam free. Pay us a visit.
guys check your candy.
Happy Halloween.
Yeah, such a great movie. If I was a rewatcher of films, I'm not a big fan of rewatching films, but this one has so many kind of twists and story, layers of story, that I can kind of watch it a few times and not... see, if I watch something too many times, I end up hating it. And that's why I don't watch something that I love or like too many times, because it just ruins it for me. But this one I've seen quite a few times, like I'd say maybe 3 or 4 times, which to me is a lot. It's actually, that's kind of extreme for me. But like I said, because of all the sort of story elements, if I watch it once every 5 years or so, then I'm, you know, I can get away with it and still really, really love it, which is very strange. There's a few movies that fit into that category that I can rewatch many, you know, multiple times and still love it. But a lot I can't. So, yeah, but this one is great. It's the most Halloween-y, good horror movie that I can think of. So it's number one for me, and it's number three for Agent. Do you think it's going to stay there?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So... number two. What do you got for number two?
Halloween from 1978.
Oh, there you go.
15 years after murdering his sister on Halloween night 1963, Michael Myers escapes from a mental hospital and returns to the small town of Haddonfield, Illinois to kill again.
Let's check out the trailer. I'm sure we've all seen it, but let's check it out anyway.
Halloween night, a small American town, 15 years
this
ago.
This is the movie voice guy.
Michael?
I spent 8 years trying to reach him, and then another 7 trying to keep him locked up, because I realized that what was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil. I think he'll come back.
Exploring uncharted territory.
And totally charted.
Sure.
The only reason she babysits
is to have
them. Halloween. Okay, Linda. Come on out.
So that's my favorite way of revisiting Halloween, that movie, is watching the trailer or watching people discuss the movie. I love watching YouTube videos where people just talk about Halloween and different things. The one style of conversation that I do not like is the behind the scenes stuff about actors and the business and things like that. I kind of did a little bit of Halloween Psycho behind the scenes stuff, but I don't mind. I can handle a little bit of it, but I don't like a lot of it. And here's why. To me, movies are a magic show. And once you start peeking behind the curtain too much, the magic is, you realize the magic was just a trick. And once you know the trick, it's no longer magic.
Yep.
So this is one of the reasons why I've only blocked one person, one channel ever. And it was on Odyssey. And I blocked them because every single one of their thumbnails was a green screen. It was actors and monsters or whatever, the the practical, the IRL stuff in front of a green screen. And just that alone gave away a lot of the mystery of the movie and that, or that particular special effect. So this is why I had to block his channel, because I didn't want to see the thumbnails, because I don't want to see the behind the scenes, the tricks behind the magic. Because I know every bit of magic is just a trick. And that's why they call it movie magic, is because they're getting us to see things that aren't really happening. You know, like, it just simply put, the knife going into somebody, stabbing someone. Well, it's not really a knife stabbing someone. It's a trick. And I don't want to know how. I want to believe that a knife went into somebody. I don't want to know about the trick, so that every time I go to see it, you know, I see something else. Because that ruins. And I know somebody who does movie special effects, and he can't stand them now. Because every time he sees a special effect, he knows how it's done, because that's his job. So, and it ruins the movies for him. He's like, oh, well, that didn't really happen. It's this. And I don't want that. So that's why the really deep dives into, you know, a little bit here and a little bit there, like, you know, John Carpenter named his Dr. Loomis Sam Loomis after Psycho. That's a little thing, but I don't like a whole lot of big things. But anyway, yeah. My favorite movie of all time, although I can't rewatch it too many times. Do you want me to blabber on about this one, Agent?
You can.
Okay. So the three reasons why I think that this movie is beyond perfect, or it gets a perfect score. It's my favorite horror movie of all time, and I'm 90% of what I consume is horror. So, and I'm a pretty smart guy too. But the three things that are beyond perfect in this movie are Dr. Loomis, or Donald Pleasance, his performance, beyond perfection. And I really bought every single second of it. And he really brought a gravitas to, he put the evil inside of Michael Myers, if you ask me. The mask, again, beyond perfect. That white Shatner mask, or that Shatner mask painted white, and then they cut off the sideburns, was just, and you know, lightning in a bottle. It was an accident, a really great accident, but it was perfection. Calling him the shape, just sort of an emotionalist, and the way they even lit it, just everything about the mask. And then third, and this is super beyond perfection, is the music. The music in Halloween, and it's still considered some of the best music in any movie ever. When you go out there and you search the internet for the best themes or scores in movies, Halloween will be there. Now, Donald Pleasance, I think, was turned into a joke in later, or he was screwed up. The character was screwed up in future sequels, so it kind of demeans his performance in the first one. The music, although fantastic, because you love a song, you play it over and over and over again, and then it kind of, you start to get sick of it. And to me, people have kind of gotten sick of this music.
Yeah, every year on Halloween, by the way, in the town I live in, there's a guy in a Michael Myers costume who rides a motorcycle blasting that song.
Right. Well, that's kind of fun.
Yeah.
See, I still think it's fun, but the music was bone-chilling back in the day when it came out. It was insanely good, like beyond perfection. But now it's been so overplayed so much that you kind of get sick of it. And same thing with the mask. The mask kind of got screwed up and screwed over. I will say this about the Blumhouse trilogy is the masks were pretty great. And even actually in Rob Zombie's, I liked the mask. The ripped mask, not so much, but in Rob Zombie's Halloween 2. But Rob Zombie's Halloween, I think, got the mask. I really liked it. I would say that the original, and then Rob Zombie and Blumhouse movies, and then all the others, like the original sequels. They came much afterwards, as far as mask quality. But yeah, it was magical. It was a magical time. I remember when this movie ended, I didn't want it to end. You know, it's like one of those movies that you're like so into and you're so loving that you just never want it to end. And that is a very rare incident for me where you just want it to go on forever because you love the time, your moment, that moment you just never wanted to end. So yeah, Halloween 1978, my favorite Halloween movie, my favorite horror movie, although not my favorite Halloween movie. Interesting. But yeah, love it to death. So what's your number one Halloween horror movie there?
Halloween Agent? Pussy Trap Kill Kill. On Halloween, an all-girl rock and roll band called Kill Pussy Kill ventures out to play their biggest show to date. However, before hitting the road, they manage to unwittingly upset a man. Unfortunately, this man turns out to be an evil genius dead set on revenge. The evil genius manages to lure the girls into his hell house, and when they wake up from being gassed, they find themselves trapped inside an inescapable room filled with a vicious variety of devices that can kill them, as well as a variety of weapons that can be used on each other. The rules are simple. Advance through all three rooms, and you are allowed to go free. The catch is, in order to make it to the next room, someone must die.
Well, this is, like, actually, let's just watch the trailer first.
All right, let's load up. We got a big show.
We gotta be there by 2.
Stop!
What do you want?
Leave the girl alone.
What the hell?
What the hell is going on?
Happy Halloween.
Oh, thank God.
Blew on you, huh?
Sure did. I got a van to my uncle's house.
There you go.
Nice.
Welcome to the basement. You know the origin of Halloween. Fear. Consider this your celebration.
Misty?
We are not lab rats!
Oh, come on, it's Halloween. It's supposed to be fun.
What is going on?
What did I hear?
Wow, I've never heard of this one, and that's an interesting choice for number one.
Yep, it's number one because it reminds me of Saw, but with the Halloween twist to it.
Exactly. I was going to say, my favorite subgenre of horror is the sort of trapped in a room and you have to escape. The escape room sort of type thing. And Saw... it's not really a room, but it still fits that the sort of overall feeling of a trapped in the room movie. And now you have to solve the mystery or solve the puzzle and get out alive and so on. So I definitely need to see this.
It's on Tubi, last I checked.
Okay, well, so it's on Tubi. And you can watch it. I will watch it. I love these, again, trapped in a room. That's my favorite subgenre. I don't know. It's just, if you're trapped in a room, it's going to get an extra star or two. And I only rate out of 5 stars for me just because of that, because I love it so much. It's something about I'm able to really put myself in their shoes and think and try to solve the puzzle myself. It's almost like playing a video game, I would suppose. Looks interesting. And what an interesting way to get your female characters dressed, you know, so outlandishly as them coming home from a rock concert after performing at a rock concert, right?
So. Yep.
Okay. So, yeah, that's an interesting list. Everybody's list is going to be different. This one thing I like about talking to others in horror is getting different perspectives. Some of these you may have agree with, some you may disagree with, but I love. And if there's anything that doing my horror podcast has taught me, it's branch out. There's a good chance that you're saying no to things that you'll actually like. So give some of these that you haven't checked out a try. And Agent, thank you very much for letting me on your channels. Your what do you call it? Podcast? Your videos? Or
yeah, I just do pre-recorded videos, but it's my channels. I'm on Rumble, BitChute, Odyssey, and MGTOW TV.
Okay.
Used to be on YouTube too, but they banned me last February.
Right. Yeah. You have to, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. Like I said, my podcast is on hold right now, but when I come back, I want to be doing all of the platforms, and I don't know how much I'm going to be able to bite my tongue in order to not get banned myself. But if I do get banned again, because I've been banned many times too, if I get banned again, I'm not going to fret. I'm just going to plug on. But I am planning on bringing all of these major big tech platforms back on board. And I don't know how much I'm going to be able to censor myself, because Agent will attest that my mouth can get pretty non-politically correct at times. So we'll see what happens, but you can stay tuned to me at thehorrorstreamlive.com. And actually, that's where you find a lot of agents' articles. So,
yep, including the one we went through today.
Right. And yeah, so thanks for having me, Agent. And happy Halloween, everyone.
Yep, and I will be uploading this at midnight on Halloween.
Okay. So, happy Halloween. Thank you very much for having me, and I hope to be back again soon.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's where you're going to cut?
Yep.
Or whatever.
This is John D. Hyena, Agent of Social Media Chaos, signing off.